his matchless grace to be put before you from our truth that was given us, amen, to adhere to hope in, to be informed and apprised, hallelujah, of that which we have. And know this throughout this message and throughout your daily life and throughout your walk. Where sin abound, grace did much more or super abound. Now to hear more of it, I bring to you Elder Sister Karen Liverman to tell us more about this marvelous matchless grace.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh my God, I'm fired up today. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hold on to your seats. Hallelujah. Get ready because the Holy Ghost will illuminate your eyes and take you to a different level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you, hallelujah, for your marvelous, wonderful, matchless grace. We thank you, Lord, for the mystery, the truth, hallelujah, found in the 14 epistles of Paul, moving us from the physical, temporal, into the spiritual, invisible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named. Hallelujah. Father, open up our eyes. Enable us to behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God, that we can live in peace and triumph in this day, realizing that all is already completed in Christ in God. Hallelujah. That you have made us victors and conquerors in the name of Jesus. We believe we receive it right now, hallelujah, and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready, hallelujah. Oh, my God, when I was preparing this, I've been trying to preach this for weeks and months, and it was withheld from me. I said, well, Lord, I want to preach this. And then I'd go to studying, and then something else would come, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and he'd say, you're going to preach this. I said, okay, so then I would preach those things. But God has moved us on today. Hallelujah. Now, when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from. I'm starting with what? Ephesians. And then I go to what? Colossians. You might say, Sister Karen, why, oh, why do you keep us there? I have said to the Lord, why, oh, why do you keep me anchored there? But you know what? It's so important, Ephesians and Colossians, that some of you may get an aha moment. You know, I love Oprah Winfrey. You know, people say, well, you know, she's not a Christian. That's between her and God. But she has done some great things. And when she talks about those aha moments, that's when the veil is lifted. Amen. That's when the sunshine comes down and you're able to see clearly. And the reason I stay in Ephesians and Colossians and we talk about our salvation, do you know what you believe about your salvation and your security and your safety? It influences your entire life. Hallelujah. So if you don't have that straight, realizing that it's not about you and that it's all about him, you're going to be stymied. You're going to be dwarfed. You'll remain a babe in Christ. Hallelujah. Never ready for the spiritual riches. Hallelujah, that come with maturity. We talk about maturity, come with knowledge of who you are in Christ. That's maturity. Knowledge of the spiritual invisible, prioritizing the things that are spiritual, invisible, eternal over the things that are temporal and physical in time. And this will bring you peace. Then when we talk about Colossians 2, the fact that our lives are completed in Christ, we can get away from all this wondering and daily and looking at things and sightseeing and all that stuff that gobbledygooks us up and causes us to scratch at night, not be able to turn the light off, being unsure and unsafe. So that's why we stay there, because I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to give you an aha moment so that you can have some peace and rest as we're traveling through this world. Because, you know, this is not our home. We are really aliens here. Amen. So it's time you start living like an alien. and stop living like those folks that don't know who they are in Christ. Those that are not the elect of God. Those foreigners. They're really the ones. You know, see, people say, oh, we're all children of God. No, we ain't. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not all children of God. We're all fellow creatures of the same Creator. But everybody is not privileged and called and elected to be a member of the body of Christ. The highest calling. Hallelujah. And you got it. Deacon, can you please turn? You know where I'm going. Amen.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. First from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
Now, from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world, to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
You know, we were predestined in eternity. Not when you made a decision to come to Christ. Not when you were baptized. Not when you recited the sinner's prayer. All that has been done for you has been done in eternity before the foundation of the world. Not an accident, not a coincidence. God had a plan, and that plan was instituted in his original decree in eternity. Yes. Hallelujah. You didn't just get here on your own. God elected. He selected. You were preset to come. Preset to come. Couldn't do anything else but come. Amen. Amen. So that's a done deal in eternity. Can we do Colossians 2 now, please?
Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, first from the King James Version. 9 through 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Deacon, could you please just read number 8? Because let me tell you why we keep doing this. Because we are coming against the traditions of men. We're coming against the way things have always been taught. We're coming against those myths and legends that people put off as being the Bible. We're coming against Bible soup. Mixing up all those dispensations and shaking all that stuff up and then sputing it out and then being confused. Then saying, the Bible contradicts itself. like God is confused. He's not like us. We're the ones that are here today and gone tomorrow and loosey-goosey and floating around and pulling stuff out of the air. That's what we do. Read number 8, please, in Greek and in the interlinear, as well as King James.
And Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, first from the King James Version. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Read that again. And not what?
And not after Christ.
Yeah, we put traditions above the word. We put the things that have always been done above the things that are right to do. We do what's always been done. And can you read it, please, in the Greek?
Now, Colossians 2, verse 8, from the interlinear Greek text. Look ye, lest any one you there shall be robbing through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements or principles of the world, and not according to Christ.
Amen. You know that puts me in mind of a little story sometime I use in teaching, when I'm trying to teach people to get rid of the old school thinking and do things a little differently, things that are more culturally competent, things that are more welcoming, things that are more safe for everyone, because that's what I do. And I like to use this little story because it makes it plain to people. We just got through with Thanksgiving here in America, because we know we have a worldwide web audience, and we're praying for you as well. And when we have Thanksgiving, we all get together and we're preparing everything. And so this particular girl had several sisters and her mother. And then the tradition had gone from the mother, who got older, to having Thanksgiving at her home. So they were all in her home preparing and chopping and cutting up stuff. And so she took the ham and started cutting the top of the ham off. So the mother said, why do you do that? She says, well, I saw you do it. And I thought that's the way we always did it, because all of them were cutting the top of the ham off. And the mother said, oh, you know, I did that because it wouldn't fit in that pot I was using. Now, the girls were thinking it was something special, because this is a tradition they learned from their mother. They didn't know that it was because it did that particular ham didn't fit that particular pot. But see, they had gotten it ground in their mind that this was law and this was what the way it was supposed to be done. And it was not so. It was just that that ham that the mother was cooking that time didn't fit in that pot. And that's what a lot of us are doing spiritually. We're holding on to those traditions as we're going back into the law. We're grasping all those things that are in the kingdom. And we're pulling those in to where we are now. And we are negating the marvelous grace. We're negating marvelous righteousness. We're negating who we are in Christ, walking victorious. And we're giving up the ability to walk in peace. Hallelujah. Realizing that our lives are completed in Christ and God, that He already has it. That we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Opposed to sightseeing and looking at the turmoil and the confusion around us. You're being robbed. Hallelujah. And you don't have to be. So don't keep cutting the top off the ham because you thought that was the way it was supposed to be done. Instead, let's look into these epistles and find out who we are in Christ and walk in the victory that's already won for us through the blood of Jesus. Everybody give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. And that's a good illustration, because, you know, she was always cut thinking that was something special, when mother said, oh, it just the pot didn't fit. And that's what's going on with us spiritually, too. We're going to be teaching from the pastor's pen. It's entitled Dwelling on the Vertical Plane, Sunday, August the 30th, 2015. Unfortunately, much of Christendom has not grasped the solid foundation of the truth of God's word. Many solely abide in the surface aspects of engaging the daily activities and circumstances of this present earthly abode, and relegating God's greatest workings and power to the physical, natural phenomena. Those who dwell in this limited sphere of relating to God, prioritizing the physicality-stimulated portions of the Bible, while mostly ignoring or lightly esteeming the root of the gospel of this dispensation, the mystery. What am I saying there? We're saying that most people are sightseers. They're moved by what they can see, feel, touch, smell, you know, the physicality part. And as a result of them putting so much emphasis on the physical, temporal, they miss altogether the eternal wonders of the spiritual unseen, hallelujah, where the real action is. Romans 16:25 states, "To the one who is able to establish you, according to my gospel in the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept silent in times eternal." Here it is noted that the so-called majority Greek text does not include this verse in its writing, but extensive examination and evidence of the original manuscripts recognize it to be genuinely authentic. You know, what is the mystery? The mystery is walking by faith and not by sight. And you can't do that apart from realizing that your life is completed in Christ and God and God's eternal plan. They go hand in hand. This distinct significance is likewise emphasized and identified in Romans 2:16 as my gospel, same as in Romans 16:25. The expression of this scripture is in the form of a prayer. Thus, Paul's desire is that God might establish his people in accordance with the truth revealed in the gospel that was committed unto him. Here, Paul expresses this truth has been manifested in the current dispensational prophetic writings, particularly through his writings and those of others associated with him. And we note Ephesians 3 and 5. Note that this verse begins with, "To the one who is able to establish you," which addresses is God, who alone is able, has ability and power to establish his people. Notice the consistent testimony of Paul's epistle is that God, in the process of establishing his elect, transmits this ability and power through the Holy Spirit, who is commissioned to enlighten this revealed message to the members of the body of Christ. And we reference Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. In the expression "establish you," the Greek infinitive rendered "establish" denotes those having been committed as through the aorist tense, which is past completed, to the one who is able and is having caused them to stand fast by steadfast and unmovable and spiritually relating to him in eternal things. In light of those who focus on the physical sphere of earthly blessings, which is contrary to the emphasis of the gospel of grace, and we again reference Romans 16:17 through 18, there is an urgent need that they might be having been manifested solid and firm in the truth. And we reference Romans chapter 1, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians 2:17, and 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Once development in the matured, actualized sphere of eternality leads to comprehension of all having been accomplished in God's decree by his saying, having actualized everything into existence. And we reference Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, and Hebrews 11 and 3. Do you know it is all about him and not about you? Do you know it was all settled in his eternal plan before the foundation of the world? You were a conqueror then. That's why you're a conqueror now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches that it is very important that all God's people be established in the right truth, which is the mystery, the revealed volume of truth for the Grace Church in this present age. And we reference Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 28. We must prioritize the invisible, the spiritual, eternal, over the temporary, physical. Amen, amen. We're moving right along. We are now going to address overcoming all the adversities of this life. And that's the pastor's pen, and it's dated Sunday, September the 6th, 2015. And Deacon, if you can get on and hold on and be ready with Ephesians 6, verses 12 to 14. And we're going to use the King James as well as the Greek. Overcoming all the adversities of this life. The most rewarding of all realistic lessons that can be experienced is the exercising of one's faith in embracing the spiritual provisions of armor afforded to God's children for overcoming the many adversities of life. There are frequent testimonies recorded in the scriptures documenting the many triumphs and victories proclaimed by those who were enabled to trust in his spiritual armament in conquering the contending evil forces of nature. And we reference Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, which states, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Do you know that truth comes from knowledge of God? Truth comes from knowing who you are in Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord will be there to give you liberty so that you can stand fast. As you increase in your knowledge of Him and who you are in Christ, you will live a victorious Christian life. Now, am I saying everything is going to be roses? No. Things are certainly going to happen. Things are going to come, but they come to pass. That's why they come. And they come because God has sent them. And we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. God has sent them all. And why? For His divine will, His testimony, hallelujah, to show His greatness in the earth. Hallelujah. That's why they come. They come to affirm who you are as you identify with the sufferings of Christ. Hallelujah. Nobody want to talk about that, though, but that's part of it. That's part of it. Yeah, things are going to happen. Yeah, but why are they happening? They're happening to glorify and magnify God and His greatness. Can you please read Ephesians 4, Deacon?
Now we're reading from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. First from the King James Version. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore,
hallelujah,
having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We won't take it any further. But you know what? I am challenging you to get into Romans chapter 8 and to read that, and to get into Ephesians chapter 6 and to read and study those things. The Holy Spirit will meet you there as you open up the holy book and behold these mysteries. Here he's talking about standing. And can you read it in the Greek so we can get a little more clarity?
Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 from the interlinear Greek text. "Because not is to us the conflict against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers, darkness of this, against the spiritual of evil in the heavenlies. Therefore, take ye up the whole armor of God, in order that ye may be able to resist in the day evil, and all things having wrought to stand. Stand ye therefore, girding round the loin of you with truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness."
Hallelujah. You are commanded to stand, having already been made the conqueror. It's already done. All you have to do is what? Stand. Just stand. Hallelujah. Here the need for those so blessed to stand firm is emphasized. Observe the uses of the imperative mood commanding God's people to stand firm and unmovable. Note that the Greek participle rendered therefore implies that with God's provision of adequate armor, his beloved are ordered to stand. We're commanded to stand. The inference is that regardless of how fierce the enemy may be, there are no alternatives. God's elect are to unflinchingly stand in faithfulness. And we reference 2 Corinthians 1, verses 24. This verse, Ephesians 6:14, describes various parts of the spiritual armor and the figurative positioning of them on the believer's body. The first piece of spiritual armor identified as truth. The connotation is that as we have our loins girded with truth, or in the spirit of truth, we can undoubtedly stand in the midst of trouble. Usage of the Greek noun for truth references truth revealed to Paul in today's church. And we reference Galatians chapter 1 and 12 and Ephesians 3, 2 and 9. This verse is the volume of the truth that we are to be girded with, which is indicated by the locative case of the Greek phrase, the truth. The essence of this information is that God's people are enabled to stand as such are endowed, encircled, or supported in the sphere of God's word. And when we talk about standing, Paul handles this in Galatians as well. When he starts with Galatians 3, and he starts by saying, "Who has bewitched you into thinking you can start in the spirit and be made perfect by the flesh?" And that's what we always do. We want to fight spiritual battles with fleshly armament, carnality, things that we can see. We get back into that law thinking, that eye for an eye. You kill my cat, I'll kill your dog. We get back into those kinds of things. We're thinking that our battle is won through physicality. The battle has already been won through spirituality. Hallelujah. And when we look at those armaments, truth and righteousness, those are invisible. They're invisible, eternal armament to fight invisible, eternal battles. What we see manifested in the natural has already taken place in the spiritual. Hallelujah. It's already taken place in the decree of God. It's already been taken place in his eternal workings for his divine will and testimony. You have to keep in mind that as it is coming to your knowledge, as we're going through the matrix of time, that these things have already happened and have been completed and we've won. Now, if you start fighting a battle and you already know you won, you shouldn't even break a sweat. You shouldn't break a sweat. That's why I tell people, if Satan came into my room at night and stood at the foot of my bed, I'd look at him and say, "Oh, it's just you." And I turn back over. Why? Because I know that God sent him, and that what's God's will and testimony, whatever is done, is going to be done, and I win. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. I win. And not only do I win, you win. Regardless of what's going on, it's going on because God has sent it, and you win. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can stand firm, realizing that God has already caused you to win. Hallelujah. Stop scratching and walking and turn your light off because you win. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it looks. You win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has always caused you to triumph in Christ. And if you can get a hold of that, you can encourage others. This is why my friend told me, she said, "You know, Karen, you just ain't got enough sense to worry." See, sense, sightseeing, worrying. Because I just say, listen, God's got it. It's already done. However it is, it already is. Ain't no need of me sitting here scratching, moaning, groaning, staying up trying to figure things out. God already got it. And I can rest. The Bible says he doesn't slumber or sleep. So why all of us got to be up? Why do all of us have to be up? If God is up, why you got to stay up too? Yeah. Didn't I tell you that way? He said, "Oh, you don't love David." I said, "I love David, but listen, God is on the case, and he can do something about it. I can't." Do you know most of the stuff you worry about and fret about, you can't do nothing about it? You know, you can't do nothing about it. Nothing about it. Honey, listen, everything is about God. It's not about you, and I have to turn it over to him so I can get some rest.
Yeah. I need my rest. And you need yours too. So I'm trying to help you so you turn your light off. Amen. The verse Ephesians 4:14, we just read it, describes various parts of the armor and the figurative positioning of the believer's body. The first piece, again, is truth. And this message is the volume of truth that we are to be girded with, which is indicated by the locative case, the truth. The essence of this information is that God's people are enabled to stand. We're empowered to stand. The second piece of armor to put on is rendered righteousness, and that's his righteousness. Do you know you don't have any righteousness? I get sick of running to Christians that are so self-righteous. Oh, I fast twice a week. Oh, I was baptized. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost at so-and-so church under mother so-and-so. And, you know, they just go on and on and on and on and on and bragging about all that physical stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. You are where you are. You are who you are because of the Holy Spirit. Then you run into them, they'll say, oh, yes, you know, I graduated from this school and I got this degree and I did so-and-so and I did it all by myself. No, they didn't. Anything that you are, whatever it is, the good, the bad, it's all because of him. And he should get the glory of all that's going on in your life. You should live a life that glorifies God, that exemplifies who you are in Christ. You don't have to wear a sign, I love Jesus. People ought to know from encountering you because you are doing the right thing, because you are putting others, esteeming others higher than yourself, because you're not doing that eye for eye, tit for tat thing in the workplace. Yeah, they should know that you are serving God by the way you live. Hallelujah. Your conversation is what the Bible calls it. It talks about the conversation, which is your manner of living. By you looking into this book, freeing yourselves of all these earthly rudiments and all these traditions of men, you should stand out. People ought to know, and you don't have to have a sign. Amen. And I, you know, if you need one, that's where you are. Amen, amen, amen. But I'm just saying, let's grow up from that. Let's grow up from that. Yeah. Let's grow up in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So when we start talking about righteousness, we're talking about his righteousness, because we already have established our righteousness is as filthy rags. Hallelujah. We have privy, hallelujah, to proclaim the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. He has enabled us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Note that the expression righteousness reference that which is set apart from the law or works. Do you know Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? We still have folks that are tied to the law. Hallelujah. I have a friend and she was going to come to our women's fellowship, but she couldn't come because she was Sabbath keeping. Oh my God. She didn't reach back there to the curse of the law and is not keeping holy days on Saturday. Would you, and listen, and I, you know, if that's what she wanted to do, but to think that you're closer to God because you're doing the law of the Jews, that's crazy. They couldn't keep it. Now you think you can keep it. You have a better covenant based on better promises, and you're reaching back into the law, putting yoking that thing around your neck, and you thinking that's making you holy. Oh, my God. Hey, you run the folks and they want to do that, but I'm just telling you, I'm pulling your coat. I'm getting the wool out of your eye. You can get the finger out your eye. You don't have to do all that stuff. Can't eat this meat. Can't go, can't do this. Can't do, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Now, we know we're not to murder and some of those things, but I'm talking about some of the real rudiments and the traditions of men that people go back to make themselves look holy, like they're doing something for Jesus. Don't you know Jesus finished it all on the cross? You don't have nothing to add to that? Amen. You can't add nothing to. When he hung there, he said, it is finished. That means it's completed. Paul comes back and he tells you, your life is completed in Christ and God. That you should set your affections on things that are above, not on the things that are below. Hallelujah. So if people want to be yoked up in bondage, if you can't free them, see, that's the job of the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you not to get yoked up in that foolishness. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. This righteousness which God freely manifests through his elect on the basis of the employment of his faithfulness, we are enabled to experience in Christ. And we reference 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Ephesians 2 and 8. Hence, we are to be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. As the figurative word breastplate indicates. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, the substance of breastplate is faith and love. The Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches that God's people have more than significant provisions to not only survive but triumph over all the contentious forces of spiritual evil, and that we are appropriately armed or clothed and endowed with the spiritual armament of God. This enablement of truth and righteousness is empowered with the spiritual weapons of knowledge, which is far superior to all of our adversaries. And we reference 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And that reads in the Greek, "For the weapons of the warfare of us, not fleshy, but powerful to God, to overthrow the strongholds and reasonings." Hallelujah. So you have the word of truth, hallelujah, which enables you to hold fast and to stand strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight. Viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Walk by faith, saints, not by sight.
Glory! Oh, yes! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I told you.